Obviously, since COVID, there's been plenty of talk about the changing face of the workplace. Well, one man who's been leading that charge, CEO of the US company Gravity Payments, Dan Price. He founded the credit card processing and payments technology company back in 2004, became the CEO in 2006. And then in 2015, caused a media storm globally after slashing his salary by $1 million a year and bumping his employees' minimum salary to at least $70,000, and that was 6 years ago. Now, he claims it's a success, so with the company's revenue tripling since. Let's hear the story. Dan Price is with us out of Seattle. Morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Before we talk about your business and your success and all of that, I was reading over this past weekend. It was an article about Australians living in Seattle, and it was claimed that Seattle is the most vaccinated city in America, and life has largely returned to normal. Would you concur with that?
Well, I have to say I have a lot of Australian friends here, and I really enjoy all of them and would love to come and visit Australia someday. It's always been on my bucket list. And yeah, I would generally concur. I mean, I'm not an expert, but that seems right to me.
And so life in Seattle has returned to some sort of normality post-COVID?
Well, you know, I don't want to say normal because, you know, life before the pandemic had many challenges with the cost of housing, you know, skyrocketing, the cost of education and healthcare skyrocketing, and really no solutions from the government. And this at a time when we're, you know, Seattle is the home of the billionaires and the place where we're not taxing those people. And so, you know, I don't want to call that normal, but it is more similar to what it was prior to COVID.
That's good to hear. So to the thing that made you famous, 6 years on a score of 1 to 10, 10, it's the greatest decision you ever made. 1, it's been a bit of a bust. What would your number be?
10.
Wow. And did you think it would be 10, or you just want it to be 10, or it really is 10?
I didn't really know. I didn't think of it that way. So I didn't think of it. But what I did think was it was a moral imperative. I mean, if a company has the ability to pay its workers, people that are actually creating the value of the company, a not just a living wage, but a wage that's, you know, puts those workers in the middle class and values them properly. If a company has the ability to do that and doesn't do it, that would be a complete and utter moral failure. And so I feel really lucky that my employees, you know, came together and really made the whole thing work and made it a 10. But I feel like the decision itself, it got too much credit because it should be considered normal and basic that employees should get, you know, the value that they're creating.
Exactly. Were you always of that view? I mean, how did you end up earning the money you earned before you gave it up suddenly? Were you happy earning that, or did you have a change of heart and mind?
Probably more had a change of heart and mind because, you know, I was educated, you know, just growing up studying business and, you know, building my company. And, you know, I'd go out there and talk to the people that had come before me, and they all said, you know, it's not your job to think about what employees have to make. That's their job. Your job is to get the most you can, and their job's to get the most they can. And so, you know, I kind of was allured by that in the short term, but in the long term, I could see that was really not going to serve me well.
I think part of your answer earlier gives it away. If your company can do it, I mean, you would admit surely there are businesses where the infrastructure just isn't in play to pay people $70,000, $75,000 plus a year.
Yeah, but they have a slightly different moral imperative. Their moral imperative is to acknowledge publicly that paying a good wage to their employees is essential. Be transparent about why they can't do it, and then set as a goal internally with all their employees a way to get there, or create, you know, a nice path for those employees to get somewhere. Because everybody, you know, we should have a career path for everybody that allows them to have a good life with dignity, with some relaxation, you know, just a good balanced life that we all want, where we're making enough money that money is not harming us or our loved ones.
The $70,000, has that increased exponentially each year? And how have people reacted to it? And have they sort of become comfortable with it and suddenly thought, well, hold on, 70, 75 is not enough. I need 100 now.
Well, it's interesting that you asked that because our median wage is close to about $100,000 now. And we also, you know, we pay 401k regardless of not matching, but just a safe harbor 3%, and we have full benefits and all those things. So, you know, so we do think that it needs to go up, and we're not satisfied with $70,000. The whole point is we want everyone in the organization to make enough that money, lack of money, is not harming their well-being. But absolutely, we want our employees to be able to make, you know, $100,000, $150,000, $200,000, you know, we want to work together with them so that they can make that happen.
Where does your company sit within your industry? Are you above average?
Well, in terms of what we pay to, like, for example, a customer service person, you know, our industry domestically pays those people $30,000 or $35,000 a year. A lot of the jobs get outsourced and you know, have a pay rate that is much, much lower than that. So we're, you know, we're well over double. And what we were paying those positions prior to our announcement in 2015 was more in line with industry standards.
Now, listen, Dan, these numbers, does everyone, so for example, then have to go up? You start at the bottom, do they have to go up? If you start then and boost, does then everyone halfway up the chain, say, and then at the top of the chain have to be paid in a commensurate amount?
Yes and no. People in the middle, yes, but people at the top, no. So our pay rate prior to our change went from about $30,000 a year to about $1 million a year. Now it's compressed, so at the bottom it's $70,000 a year, and at the top it's $300,000 a year. But we do need to get more and more of those people that have that tenure, that are really helping others and helping to birth other people's careers. We need to get more of those people up, you know, 150,000 instead of 100,000. So, yes, and I think there's another hidden point that's very relevant, which is when you increase the minimum wage overall in the country, then everybody else's wages in the middle also go up. So sure. The people that need to take a cut are the people at the very top, but the people at the middle also deserve a pay raise.
And so have you discovered in terms of hiring that you must at the bottom and middle have more people applying for the job, because who doesn't want to earn more for the same job than they can elsewhere? But then do you have the problem at the other end that, you know, a guy who could earn $1 million is only earning 300, so why would he work for you?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. But there have been studies that basically show that money does not actually help your well-being once you reach a certain point. And, you know, there may be some very expensive cities where, you know, 300,000 or 400,000 is the number. But there, I don't think there are any cities where like $1 million is the number.
Yeah.
And so, you know, working in a place where you know that everybody's making enough money to at least make ends meet, it carries with it a huge number of benefits. And the idea of like that one, you know, kind of hero, the hero worship to kind of like help the whole company, that puts a lot of pressure on people. So there's a lot of benefits to working in an environment where it's a bit more team oriented.
What's your company structure? You're not publicly listed, you're privately owned?
Yeah, we're completely private. I mean, we did get offered venture capital pretty early on in the early days of the company, and we got offered outside investment. But the concern with those things is that it could change, you know, the purpose of the company, because even prior to the $70,000 announcement, the whole purpose of the company was to fight the injustice of hidden credit card processing fees, which are much better there in Australia. But in the United States, the credit card companies take a huge amount from the small businesses. So we were trying to fight that. And the worry with going public or taking outside investment is those investors would want to squeeze all those small businesses,
exactly,
squeeze employees. So we've had to keep the company totally private.
Which is why I asked the question. You've been lucky in the sense you are private, because if you were publicly listed, there'd be a board and there'd be shareholders who wouldn't tolerate this, presumably, would they?
Well, there is an example here of a company that at least either does it well or at least less bad, which is Costco. And they compete with Sam's Club and Walmart, and they pay their employees literally almost double what Sam's Club and Walmart pay. And they still provide just as much value, great prices. And there's other examples of public companies, but you're right, it's a little bit more complicated. And unfortunately, you know, if all of our wealthy folks are so greedy and wanting to get a return on investment at any cost, then, you know, employees are the ones that are bearing the brunt of that. And you hear that with somebody like Jeff Bezos when he says, Amazon employees, you paid for my trip to space, you know, my little 11-minute amusement park ride. Like, you can see that. And so, you know, we need to be cautious about that and think about, we need structural systemic changes so that the wealth can't get away with squeezing employees like this.
What's it done for your churn? Do people stay?
Oh, it's been incredible. On average, people are staying twice as long. Our churn's been cut in half, which makes us so much more powerful and productive as a company and creates a way better experience for our small business customers.
Is it going to take off, do you think, if I ring you in another 6 years? Will it have spread?
You know, I think what I proved is that it works, because our company's tripled, our churn was cut in half, employees are doing better. But I think what I also proved is that it's not going to spread and that big companies are not going to follow suit. So I really, you know, failed in that ambition. And the only way this is going to spread is if it's through legal changes, through, you know, really force, because I think the Jeff Bezos of the world just are not going to do something like this, even if they get overwhelming proof that it works.
All right, Dan. Listen, good to catch up with you. Appreciate it very much. Dan Price out of Gravity Payments in Seattle. Maybe we'll ring him in 6 years' time, see how he's going.